Hello everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Underexposed. Before introducing my guest today, I would like to thank you all for the overwhelming messages of support and encouragement and all the feedback you guys took the time to give me, which I really, really appreciated. When I told Hiba about this project, she was extremely excited and supportive. We've come to know each other on Twitter when she posted a couple of her pictures that I really, really loved. And I remember that she had just showed her pictures at a museum in Morocco for the first time, which is quite impressive for someone who's 18, but she's really, really talented and her work is brilliant. Needless to say, our love for film photography led to long discussions about our favorite films to shoot, the cameras of our dreams, and overall a great friendship that I truly value. Being a visual arts student, she combines talent and technical skills. She tells stories through her pictures that often look like beautiful movie shots, where you can sense her passion for what she does and attachment to her photographs. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Hiba Dahibi on the second episode of Underexposed. Hello, Hiba, and thank you so much for being on this episode of Underexposed. I am super honored and really grateful for you to be here. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. I feel really honored to be the second guest of your amazing podcast. And
my pleasure.
My name is Hiba Dahibi. I'm 18 years old and I'm an audiovisual student.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I take pictures, obviously.
That's cool. So you're doing what kind of studies are you doing in visual arts? Is it are you in university? Are you doing do you go to a school in here in Morocco?
Yeah, it's like a school that, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's like in a high school, but it's a school. Like, I really don't know how to explain it, but yeah, it's not a, like, a uni, but, you know, it's, okay. Let's call it a school.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about that? I think it's really interesting that you're doing that kind of studies, and it's important to shed some light on that, because I've said that to you before, I think it's not a very mm-hmm. popular career in Morocco and many other countries, to be fair. Like, it's not, I say not popular, I mean, it's not as common as, you know, the usual, entre guillemets, the successful, interesting, hardcore fields like engineering or medicine or business. So did you always want to go into visual arts as a kid or maybe in high school? Did you always want to do that?
Yeah, so at the beginning of high school, like, I knew that I've always, like, I didn't want to, like, keep studying just science because I was a science student, and I said to myself, you know, let's just take, like, a creative path because mm-hmm. that will be a lot much more different, quote unquote. And I've always wanted to do the, you know, audiovisual because it's the closest I could get to. Because there isn't a school for photography only. So I was like, I thought to myself, this is the closest I could get to really photography. So
oh, okay. That's why I took it. So had there been a school of photography, you would have done that?
Yeah. If it wasn't here in Morocco, I would have given it a shot. But sadly, there isn't one.
Yeah. So I think what you're trying to say is that you did the closest thing you found that makes sense because I think in a way visual arts will kind of introduce you to the, you know, the field of photography mm-hmm. and whatever. So, and were your parents supportive? Because I think we talked about that before and we talked about how, you know, in today's society, a lot of people are kind of, you know, when you're an art student, you definitely face some kind of stigma. Mm-hmm. Parents usually try to, like, push their kids to do something other than, you know, creative studies and arts. How was your experience mm-hmm. dealing with that?
My parents were actually, like, always so supportive of what I do. And mm-hmm. I got lucky with that. Yeah, I really got lucky with that. So they never were like, no, don't do this. You're not going to be able to find a job wherever. Because some of my classmates, they have their kind of, that's kind of parents. They're like, oh, no, you wouldn't be able to find a good job. Yeah. Blah, blah. And my parents were never like that.
Yeah, you're really lucky that your parents were really supportive and, you know, you didn't have a problem, like, trying to convince them or whatever, because I think that's important. You can do what you want with, you know, you're satisfied with the result of your course and whatnot.
I also think that parents shouldn't, like, control their child's path, especially something that they want to do. I don't think they have the right to control it. Yes, it's good to guide them to the right, good path, but it's also, like, you shouldn't be like, oh, do this, because I want you to do this. Like, it's that your child's life. You're not going to, like, draw it the way you want it and let them live it the way you want it.
That's a great point, and that's a good advice to parents and also to kids who, you know, who want to go down this path and have an academic background in art, or like go to art school and are too afraid to, you know, maybe talk to their parents about it, or maybe to just do it for themselves. So yeah, there's people like you out there who are just doing it and being great at it. Yeah. So that's a good example and a great inspiration. So that's cool. So tell me, what is it like being an art student in Morocco? Like, do you find, so we talked about the stigma that follows art students in, you know, all over the world, but what is it like in Morocco? Do you get that a lot? Do you get, you know, comments or a lot of questions or?
Well, from my surroundings, not really, because they, like, kind of don't care in a way. It's just like that. But yeah, there are, like, some people like, oh, it's going, like, they're already, like, they're like, it's going to be so hard to try to find a job.
Yeah.
With you doing this, and they're, like, already making it so hard on you to even do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that. But it's kind of hard to deal with those comments sometimes. But then again, if you love something, you're just gonna do it for your sake and not for other people's sake.
Definitely.
But yeah.
And a lot of people who are doing this kind of career are doing it because they love it and they like it, and are worrying less and less about, you know, finding a job and, you know, job security and a paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I wanted to talk about something that's really interesting about you, and that's the first thing that I think when we first met, I was really, really impressed that you had your first exhibition in a museum in Morocco, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, that experience of showing your pictures in public and stuff?
Yeah, okay. So I got lucky to be part of the museum that opened in Rabat, like, a couple of months ago. I was part of the younger generation that their pictures were projected.
Yeah.
And it's a really great and nice experience to know, like, someone who's my age and was able to, for their pictures to be there. I feel a little bit proud.
You should be proud. It's amazing because, you know, like, you're 18, you're in your first year of art school, and then, you know, there's so many people coming to this great new museum to see your pictures and your art and your, you know, your creative it's really great, and it must be really satisfying.
And I also got my pictures exhibited in an art walk in Canada about, like, 3 months ago or something like that. I can't remember which was, but it was to help with one of my friends who lives in Canada, and it was a great experience. I wasn't there, obviously. I didn't be there. I wish I was.
Okay, so that's brilliant. So you're 18. You just, you know, you're showing your pictures in a museum in Morocco, in an arts gallery in Canada. How did you get into photography in the first place? Was there a moment that, you know, you realized, oh, this is for me, this is what I'm passionate about?
So I started doing photography about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it started, I started at the beginning of high school. And when I got my first phone. Uh-huh. And I thought to myself, look, I know that I'm going to be addicted to this thing. So maybe let's try to do something with it. And so I started taking pictures. I started taking pictures of whatever I thought was, you know, like.
So you started on a phone?
Yeah, I started on a phone.
That's really cool and relatable for a lot of people, because, you know, not everyone owns a camera, and it's really interesting to just, you know, use your phone camera for.
That's the thing. That's the thing. You don't need, like, a fancy camera to start taking pictures. It's all about your own vision, how you view the
Yeah.
world. And so after, like, I think a year maybe, or maybe like the summer of I don't maybe 2017, maybe, I can't remember. So apologies. Yeah, I keep taking pictures of whatever, just like I think is
Yeah.
beautiful. And with the time, I started learning more about composition and how could it help me tell better stories with my
Yeah.
pictures. And then I got this like compact cameras, you know, not the film ones, the digital ones. That, yeah, and I kept taking pictures with those until last year, and I got my camera, which is the one I'm using
That's
right now. It doesn't really
that
matter.
is so cool. And how would you say that you learned about those things you mentioned about composition and you know, all the
It's
technical stuff? How did you learn about it? Did you like, were you interested and invested in that? So like, I don't know, did you take some courses? Did you look up online? Did you watch some YouTube? You know.
Yeah, of course, it's all on YouTube, of course. It's so easy to learn these days. It was all on YouTube. And actually, my
Yeah.
school, which I'll start talking about it again, but it did help a little bit because we do like study about composition and there about lighting and everything. So that also does help in creating my pictures.
So nice. And what about your inspiration? But how did your inspiration change, and how did your creative process change? And what are some things that you used to do that you don't do anymore and you do better now, etc.? How did your photography evolve?
Well, of course, throughout the years as a person, you change, and the things that you do also change. So as I grow old, I learned
Yeah.
more things about what I
Uh-huh.
love, and also my like how I view the world also changes. And with I think the thing that photography has taught me is that I started noticing details a lot more than I used to, because if you that the little details, the ones that like are the ones that make the picture.
That is true.
And I think yeah, and one thing that I get my inspiration from is, of course, like scrolling through Instagram. But that sometimes can get really like boring sometimes, because you don't, again, you don't really notice the details in the picture. So I started getting into photo books. I don't own a lot of them because they're really
Yeah.
expensive, but I would advise anyone that really wants to get exposures to get photo books. And because you get a lot of, you get, you know, a lot of time to study each photograph that's in there, and you get to study the composition and how that person was able to
Yeah.
take the picture. And you know, you can do, yeah. And it's, I think they're such an amazing way to get
That is
inspiration
really
from
cool.
other
I
than
don't know if
scrolling through
a lot
Instagram.
of people do that. I personally I think that I have like maybe two photography books. I don't have a lot. So I get most of my inspiration from other
Yeah,
things,
because,
maybe like
yeah.
videos or I don't know, the internet. But yeah, this is
Yeah.
I want to say that this is such an original thing, but I'm not sure because I don't know if other people actually are into a lot of photography books.
I'm pretty sure there are some people who are into. I have a couple of friends and they are also into
Yeah.
photo books.
Let's go back a little bit to your you know, your academic career. So there's something that I noticed about your pictures, and I think that you a lot of them look like movie shots. And I know that you do that on purpose. You want your pictures to tell some kind of story and to look like a movie. Can you tell me how you relate cinema to your photography?
Okay, so I do think that images they can tell stories way better than films.
Wow.
I know a lot of people are gonna like come at me. Oh yeah, because if you think of it, if you
Yeah.
think of it in a way, films or movies are just a bunch of images stuck together with a scenario. That's it.
Yeah.
Don't
I'm
come for
not
me for saying that.
No,
This
I
is my
do.
own
Yeah,
opinion.
you do make, you know, an excellent point. That is true. So a video is just a bunch of images stuck
Yeah.
together. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think to myself that pictures can tell really good stories. And I again, like we're talking about inspiration, I do getting my inspiration from some films, of course. But yeah, I do try to make my pictures look like they're coming out of a movie scene or something like that on purpose, just because, that's how almost I see
Wow.
life
Yeah. No,
around me.
that makes sense. And I mean, like you, I said you make an excellent point when you say that a picture tells stories better than movies, because and it is
Better than,
harder.
or
It is
even
harder to
worse.
just tell a story through a picture, because when you're making a movie, you have some audio that comes with it, you have some actions that come with it. It's moving. You can read, the movement tells some kind of story, but a picture is just still, and being able to
Yeah, it's just
transfer some kind of message through one picture is just like really impressive, and that's really hard to be able to do. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and again, what I love about it is that, sometimes the story that you want to tell through your pictures can be really different how on how people see it, because I believe that every single person that sees a picture, for example, they built a story based on their own experiences and how they also view life. So it's like really different stories every time a person sees my picture
Oh,
or a picture in
for
general.
sure.
So I think that's
Yeah,
also
that is
cool.
really amazing. It's really cool how not only how you make the arts and how, the results that you get at the end, but also how other people perceive it and how they interpret it. It's always really different and inspiring and, interesting to know. Tell me if there are some personalities, I mean, photographers or artists that inspire you, and that maybe you want to incorporate their style in your work.
Well, I can think of one right now, and his name is Todd Heido, and he makes this really amazing landscapes, and I just like the way he like photographs like the houses and the light coming out of them, because I'm also really attracted by that. I don't know why, just there's something about windows and houses that I just love
That
so much.
makes sense,
Because
because on your I mean it makes sense that you say his name, because I think his style of photography that I'm looking at right now on Google, it does look like some of your pictures, because you also take a lot of pictures of landscapes and buildings and windows. That's so I can see that. So what is it about his work that you like or that inspires you? What is it about landscapes and windows that that you find fascinating?
I just think like pictures of houses and windows, like you could imagine what's the life of that person behind that house. You could just imagine it, although you don't know nothing about it, but you could like imagine it, like what's going on in that inside that room that is like light is shining through. But I think you can really create a lot of stories and imagination from that. And I really love that. I love how like moody
Yeah,
his
that is
pictures
such a
are.
good answer, by the
And
way. Like the thing you said about imagining the story of the person or the people living behind those windows or inside those buildings. That's really such an interesting and cool way to see it. Yes.
yes,
Moving on.
impressive.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about your interest in film photography. I think one of the things we talk about the most is film. I said that, I think I mentioned that in the introduction to this episode. We always talk about our favorite films to shoot, or the ones that we want to shoot, like you said once.
Yeah, but we can't.
So maybe tell me about how did
Sadly.
your interest in film photography particularly start, and what was your inspiration? What do you know, what is it about film that really, touches you?
So I started getting into film photography about a year ago, because I came across this YouTube video. If I remember, it was by The Negative Feedback or Willem. I
Oh,
can't remember
I
which
love them
one was it.
both.
And I came across one of their videos, and I was like, whoa, people still like do this. Like that's really amazing. And then I started watching more and more and more videos. And I really liked it and I enjoyed it. So I was like, let me just get a film camera. And yeah, so I started shooting film. But the thing is that I don't do it in a professional way. I do it more to learn about photography in general, just like take your time while taking a picture and really slow down, because that's one of the things that people love shooting film is like how
For
slow
sure.
paced it is and how much
Yeah,
time
it
it
is a
takes
slow
to
process and a very
take a
fun one.
picture, and the whole plot, yeah, and the whole
Yeah,
process,
so
yeah.
tell me about, you said you bought your first film camera. So can you tell me, like, this is really random, but
Yeah.
where did you get it, and how much, also how much did you pay for it? Yeah, because
How much
you
was
know
it?
nowadays there are.
It wasn't that expensive. Yeah, there's some really expensive ones, but mine wasn't really
Okay,
that
and
expensive.
would you say
Yeah.
that they're very available in Morocco?
Well, if you search a lot, then yeah. In Rabat, I think, yeah, there's this camera shop which I always go to. It's like a place where I can relax, because like the guy in there, he's so amazing, and he just lets me take every camera that I want, and I could try it out, and he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. This whole store is
Oh, that's so
yours, and
cool.
he's so amazing, so supportive. Yeah, because when I he sees me like as a young person and I'm interested in film, he's like, to himself, like, yo, people still really likes film at this age and at such a young generation. We've talked about that to
Yeah.
him so many
That's really
times.
interesting.
But I bought it from him, and I also buy film stock for him, like expired film stock. Whenever he gets some, he's like leaving
Oh,
some
that's
of them
cool.
for me. So
That reminds me of
yeah,
this. Yeah, go ahead.
there's that. There's I was gonna say that that's not the only store, but there are like some other places where you can find it. Also, like some thrift places where you could find it. We ha really have to look, cause you either like find them really dirty
Not
or
working,
not
yeah.
working. So yeah, you have to do
Yeah,
a lot of
and
research.
the worst case
It's
scenario
fun.
is that you can maybe ask your parents or your grandparents, because a lot of, or your relatives, and
Yeah,
because a
it's
lot of them
yeah.
have, you know, old cameras that are still functioning, maybe you can just try them out for people who are interested in that. And which brings me to my next question, because we talked about, or we mentioned before, the trend of this, you know, film photography movements in Morocco. So I think it's starting to, you know, catch up a little bit here. And what is your opinion on
Yeah,
that?
yeah. Because, well, yeah, I think the trend of film photography is like a worldwide thing, and for people in here, well, film is expensive. So if you're doing it just because it's a trend, at some point you're just gonna get tired of it and you're gonna give up on it. But if you truly love doing it, then you're gonna keep doing it just because you love it, like despite how
Yeah,
expensive it
because
could get.
it's worth it for you if
But
you're
yeah.
really passionate about that. It makes sense. It's not gonna stop you.
I also think that people really like film because of the vintage look, I would say. But that's there's so much to it than just the look. Yeah. So I feel like once they get over that phase, they're not gonna be
Yeah,
doing it anymore.
but at the same time, there are other people who are not in it for the hype or for the trend, and who are really enjoying it
Yes.
and want to have, you know, the possibility to do that more. I think
Yeah,
it's really
hard to find.
sad that in Morocco it's hard to find film that is not expired, or some kind of, I don't know, some brand or some particular role that you really want to shoot, but then you can't find it in stores and, you know, in some places. But I think there will come
Yeah.
a time pretty soon, hopefully, where it will be, because I feel like the demand is gonna, you know, just grow more and more, because more people
Yeah.
are interested and more people are, you know, putting themselves out there and trying it. So hopefully it's gonna become a thing and it's gonna be less expensive. In France, for example, I think I'm very lucky,
Yeah.
because okay, even though it's still a little expensive, but there are some places that make it very affordable for you. Yeah, I
Got
have some
lucky.
friends who started their own developing lab, and so I just give them my film, and they develop it and scan it for me for a really, really, really affordable price, and the quality is great. They're just doing it because they love it, and I think that is really cool. And I think it would be really awesome if we adapt, like if we get that in Morocco as well, because it will make it easier for everyone. Exactly,
Things
it will
more,
make it
yeah,
accessible to
yes.
more artists and more
Yeah.
creative people to just, you know, unleash their potential. So to finish this, what's the advice that you would give to other younger people who want to go professional in this field, or, you know, and have academic background in it?
The advice that I would give you know, anyone in life that want like to pursue something, is just go for it, because you never know what that experience feels like until you're in it. And yeah, just go for it. And even if it gets hard, try to remind yourself that you're the one who wanted to go through this path. So just keep pushing until you get to where you want, and just try to do it with love as much as you could.
Yeah, this is such good advice. I think it's really important for people to just stick to their ambitions and their dreams and what they want to do, and not listen too much to, you know, what other people are saying, or not give up at the first obstacle or struggle that they find in their career, because it's not hard, and it's not easy, and it's a quite special thing. So yeah, you should just hold on and hang in there, and it will be worth it at the end. Do you think it's going to be worth it at the end?
Yes, it's always worth it at the end.
Thank you so much, Hiva, for being on Underexposed today. It was a great honor having you, and such a fun time, and a great discussion with you. Thank you so much. And looking forward to having you again at some point on the show.
You know, honestly, thank you, because for inviting me to be in your podcast. And although I was a little bit nervous at the beginning, but, you know, I'm nervous behind a phone. But, you know, it was really fun.
Trust me, I am just as nervous as you. Like, I probably have no idea what I'm doing at all. Like, I mentioned that in my first episode. But, yeah, this is such a fun way to just talk to interesting people and have that broadcasted on a platform for other people to listen to our conversations and maybe hopefully learn something from it, and also give us feedback about, you know, it's great.
I hope so.
So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, it was an amazing experience. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That means the world. Thank you. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Tune in next week for another episode. Ciao.